this company.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see a whole room full of people and cameras that we don't normally see in our meetings. But you're all welcome, and we're glad you're here. I would ask Samantha to please call roll.
Chair Foster?
I am here.
Member Kurosaki?
I'm here.
Member Amar?
Present.
And I would ask for the approval of the minutes for last week. We had a very lengthy, lively board meeting last week, so if we've had a chance to look at the minutes.
Move approval of the board meeting minutes of May 24th, 2012, as submitted.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. The first thing on our agenda this morning is the board decision on the City of Seattle's petition to open rulemaking regarding hours of service. Our rules coordinator, Carrie McCall, as we all know with her, our star pupil, will give us a little intro and background on that.
Good morning, Chair Foster, board members Kurosaki and Mar. I did an issue paper just to kind of give a background on Seattle's petition for us to open the rulemaking on what Report 211.70. The hours of liquor sales and service in the state of Washington are 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. Liquor may not be sold or consumed after 2 a.m. in any liquor licensed premises. On July 25, 2011, the City of Seattle adopted Resolution Number 31308, requesting the Washington State Liquor Control Board to amend WAC 314.11070 by creating a new section to allow governments to petition the board to establish extended hours service areas within local jurisdictions. The City of Seattle lists several reasons for submitting the request. One, a well-planned and managed nightlife can have a profound positive impact on the local economy, generating direct tax revenues, and growing public funds through increased property values, revitalized business districts, and increased tourism. Number two, Washington's post-prohibition approach to liquor service with its statewide uniform 2 a.m. closing time is increasingly at odds with urban economics and lifestyle. Number three, allowing local jurisdictions to modify closing times can lead to better allocation of public resources, provide a more uniform flow of patrons from venues, spread nightlife-related demand for taxi service, and reduce the concentration of crowds. Modified closing times can improve quality of life in local jurisdictions by mitigating public safety and nuisance issues associated with the uniform 2 a.m. push-out. And number four, this effort is a critical component of the broader Seattle Nightlife Initiative, which was launched in July 2012 as a full suite of 8 actions that together provide a comprehensive, balanced approach to managing the city's nighttime economy. 9 states in the country set closing hours by local jurisdiction. One of those is a control state. On October 10, 2011, the board initiated the first stage of rulemaking by filing a pre-proposal notice of inquiry, which is called the CR-101, with the Code Reviser's Office. This notice was sent to all stakeholders on the board's rules distribution list. Prior to making a determination of whether to draft rules, the board was interested in hearing from community members and leaders, law enforcement at the local, county, and state level, neighborhood and community groups, nightlife advocates, and other interested parties. Excuse me. The board began scheduling public hearings across the state to get input on Seattle's request. Public hearings were held in Seattle on March 12th, Vancouver, April 3rd, Kennewick, April 11th, and Spokane on April 16th. The board has received 167 comments in support of Seattle's petition to open rulemaking to allow a local jurisdiction to petition the board to establish an extended hours service area. And we also received 178 comments in opposition. I did include a matrix of those comments with the documents in the back. A total of 74 comments were received at the 4 public hearings, 31 in support and 43 in opposition. And as I stated, there is a matrix that one for those in comments of those in support, and one for comments in opposition.
Once again, thank you, Karen. This has been a long process, and without you keeping us informed of every single thing that we get an email or by snail mail, we so appreciate you putting it all together for us. At this point, at this time, I will make a motion to deny Seattle's petition for rulemaking.
Second.
Thank you. We will now open this for discussion, and I think I will lead that discussion off with my comments on why I have made the motion to deny the petition. I'm voting to deny the City of Seattle's request to open rulemaking on WAC 314-11070, which would have started a process for allowing a city to petition the board for exceptions to the 2 a.m. deadline for alcohol sales. The board took the City of Seattle's petition very, very seriously, and I wouldn't ever want anyone to think that we did not. Because of our statewide perspective, we held four public hearings, as Karen alluded to. We reached out to a variety of people, as Karen also alluded to. And with the exception of Spokane, where the input was overwhelmingly opposed, comments from those in attendance were generally mixed. However, one common theme was, and one that influenced my decision the most, was that a city's ability to control public safety ends at its borders. We heard this theme from citizens, law enforcement, and city officials outside the City of Seattle. The concern, what happens when people migrate from neighboring cities to drive in and out of a city with extended hours or 24-hour alcohol service? I have a whole list of opposing organizations, including the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs, and that came to us just very recently, and it was important for me to see that the Washington State Patrol Chief John Patisse had signed that petition, and that made a very big difference in my decision making. We also heard opposing comments from the Southeast Seattle Crime Prevention County, all precinct advisory councils in the City of Seattle, Central City Drug-Free Communities, the Pioneer Business Order owners, the Belltown Business Owners and Residents, the Ballard Business Owners and Residents, the Downtown District Council, the number 59 Belltown Action Neighborhood, Island County Sheriff, Chelan County Sheriff, Columbia County Sheriff, Whatcom County Sheriff, Anacortes Police Department, Vancouver Police Department, Battleground Police Department, Federal Way Police Department, Pullman Police Department, City of Spokane, Spokane Police Department, City of Federal Way, and Emergency Management Services of Thurston County. Contrary to mission, we are the liquor board. Our paramount responsibility is public safety, and I believe control plays a major part of public safety. Some research that we collected shows that extended hours can have a negative impact on public safety. For example, of the 19 most reliable studies in the international literature, 16 out of the 19, or 84%, indicate adverse impacts of extended alcohol hours. Norway shows that for each additional extension of operating hours, there is a 16% increase in violent crime. I'm also concerned that extending hours of alcohol service at the same time that outlets selling liquor increasing dramatically may have an adverse effect on public safety. On June 1st, the availability of liquor will increase approximately fivefold. We are going from 328 outlets selling liquor now to more than 1,500. We don't know the public safety impact that this will have in Washington, but the research is clear that increasing outlets negatively affects public safety. On and off premises licenses that have same hours today, it seems very likely that those same locations then would ask for the same 24/7 privilege if that's the way extended hours would go. Our own Liquor Control Board Enforcement Division tells us they do not have the resources to deal with extended hours, and Seattle has not indicated they have the additional money. The ratio of liquor enforcement officers to licensees statewide is 1 to 300. In Seattle, it is 1 to 400, and I now understand maybe 1 to 500. If 2 a.m. is a dangerous push-out time, maybe we could consider doing more enforcement, that the cutoff isn't really the problem. Instead, it is maybe bars and nightclubs are pushing intoxicated people out the door at 2 a.m. and is over-service maybe the real problem. While my vote is to deny the City of Seattle's petition, city officials may always take the issue to the legislature or to a broader statewide issue. Thank you very much for listening to my comment. I think Ruth Ann has a statement, and then Chris does as well.
I'm Ruth Ann Carosa. I'm a member of this board. And as a member of this board, I fully accept my responsibility to make public safety the paramount factor in votes that I cast. I'm voting today to respectfully deny the City of Seattle's petition to open rulemaking for allowing a city to petition the board for extended hours of alcohol service. Like my board colleagues, I have spent countless hours over the past month researching this issue. I have heard from the mayor of Seattle, several members of the city council and staff. I've spoken with countless representatives of affected community stakeholders, our own liquor control board staff and enforcement personnel, as well as law enforcement and citizens around the state. I continue to support Seattle's efforts to provide safeguards for public safety while promoting an active and vibrant nightlife. However, I am not convinced how extended service hours can increase public safety. If we look to our neighbors to the north, Vancouver, BC, we can see that the move to extended alcohol service hours had its challenges. Recently, the Vancouver Courier reported that necessary increases of late night police patrols has forced the Vancouver police to request an additional $900,000 for liquor firearms squads. Police calls, fights, assaults, and overall violence increased. In a study examining two periods, one before the policy change and one afterwards, violence had increased by 138.7%. The City of Vancouver attributes their increase in police intervention to the increase in nightlife visitors that come with extended hours. A safe and responsible nightlife initiative should not have those kinds of increases and risk to public safety. I am also concerned about the impact extended hours of alcohol service may have on the Liquor Control Board as an agency. According to our enforcement staff, most public safety violations in nightclubs happen in the late night and early morning hours. The high rate of noncompliance at these times raises concerns that enforcement staff can maintain its current level of oversight in a system with later or around-the-clock sales. The agency has no resources to increase enforcement, even as the number of on-premise establishments continue to rise. We all agree that a vibrant, safe nightlife is good for business and can be good for public safety. However, after reviewing the studies, it's hard for me to conclude that extended service hours will lead to a more vibrant and safe nightlife. Currently, I see that extending service hours may increase revenue, but may result in negative health and safety implications. And I have a difficult time comparing economic benefits with costs to public safety. Additionally, the outcomes I see consistently lead me to believe that it is difficult to create a safe environment and that significant increased resources and regulations are needed to mitigate any adverse effects. There has been much discussion about the development of a local option, and while the City of Seattle can do much to stimulate local nightlife and entertainment, the sale and service of alcohol is a statewide issue, and Seattle is not isolated. Changes to the sale and service of alcohol will impact city residents outside any locally designated nightlife zone, as well as surrounding communities. I do not believe the impact on people and communities outside any designated zone has yet been given adequate consideration. I feel that since this proposal has broad state authority and local jurisdictional issues and gives economic advantages to some licensees, this may be a decision requiring Seattle to engage the support of the state legislature. Should the state determine that extending hours of alcohol service is appropriate in Washington, the board will make it happen. Today, I am not convinced there is a framework in place to provide additional public safety responses to meet extended hours. Therefore, I will vote to reject the City of Seattle's petition.
Thank you, Ruthann. Chris, I believe you have a statement.
Yeah, I'm Chris Mara, a board member, and well, I disagree with my fellow board members and will be casting my vote in favor of opening formal rulemaking on Washington Administrative Code 134. This would have enabled the Liquor Control Board to begin a process which in the end might or might not have resulted in rules which allowed cities such as Seattle to petition the board to extend hours of alcohol service within their jurisdiction. And for me, this was really a less about creating an opportunity for extended hours to become a reality and more about this board redefining its mission after Initiative 1183. To one that centers on balancing the public's apparent desire for increased access to alcohol with the need to maintain public safety and mitigate the social impacts that accompany expanded availability. And sadly, it appears that this will be an opportunity missed. From the outset, the issue before us was fraught with misunderstanding. Despite our best efforts, public input fixated on a City of Seattle proposal which has yet to be drafted, when it really should have been how we as a statewide regulatory body evaluate any extended hours petition that came before us. I think as individual board members, we added to the confusion by asking the City of Seattle to tell us how they would respond to rules that had not yet been written and questioning why they had not devoted more resources to formal stakeholder dialogue. Now, this suggested the petitioner had the ability to write the rules themselves, which obviously is not the case here. I think the flames of confusion were further fanned by those who messaged publicly, as reflected in a number of emails, a large number of emails we received, that the LCB was actually considering rules to extend hours of service in Seattle, which would result in their own municipality following suit. This was never the case, and I believe many of those who crafted this message did so to derail any dialogue on a larger issue. In the midst of this confusion, however, we did receive constructive feedback, which I think provided clear direction on how the board could craft a thoughtful process to move forward. The available research information on expanded hours of service is less than conclusive and points to the need for more analysis. In the case of Vancouver, BC, which has been cited, perhaps the most relevant place, I agree, to look for lessons learned, it's clear that the key is engaging the community to identify likely public safety impacts, developing an effective mitigation plan, and obtaining an ironclad commitment of necessary resources up front, not after the fact, as was done in the case of Vancouver. Therefore, I think moving forward, it would have been incumbent upon this board to establish a formal work plan that convened an inclusive statewide process that identified public safety metrics, which would have driven a public safety management plan developed by local police using guidelines developed by our own enforcement division. I think other important outcomes from the rulemaking process would have addressed licensee education, possible local licensing resulting in additional regulation and local enforcement resource generation, enhanced penalty schedules, our own agency compliance efforts, mitigation of regional migration impacts, and a myriad of issues that were raised in stakeholder comments. In just this past week, I approached fellow board members and the petitioner with a revised proposal to enter into a much lengthier and in-depth process than was previously proposed, or that we have undertaken in the past around our more technical rulemaking efforts. This would involve a one-year timeline with a possibility, but no guarantee, of final rule adoption on 5/31/13. In the interim, the board would undertake a period of significant staff research and outreach to other states, provinces, and municipalities who have addressed the extended hours issue. The resulting draft rules would have triggered a 3 to 6 month period of intensive stakeholder engagement to address needed revisions based on empirically driven concerns and measurable impacts, not based on anecdotal evidence. It would have also given us the opportunity to request funding from the legislature in the upcoming legislative session for a possible pilot, which would address the internal resource issues that you've heard mentioned today. As in any rulemaking process in any agency, the board could then decide not to proceed. Admittedly, this is an outcome the board has rarely utilized, but one that may be the only acceptable outcome should we determine the risks associated with additional access are beyond our ability to identify or effectively mitigate. And I think this could serve as a template for the type of rulemaking this board will be focused on going forward. I believe the city of Seattle, based on my conversations, is open to an extended process designed to more thoughtfully consider the complexities and impacts around a decision to accept an extended hours petition. In just the last week, they've also, in an extensive communication, committed the city to a parallel process which involves intensive local outreach in the Seattle area to their own prevention community, neighborhoods, and business organizations, a process which I think would have been helpful in informing our own rulemaking efforts. Unfortunately, my fellow board members were not moved to change their vote today, and as I said, in my opinion, this represents a huge opportunity lost. In the aftermath of Initiative 1183, overwhelmingly passed by the voters, which, as the chair points out, expands the number of retail outlets fivefold, and also increases off-premise availability in many cases to 2 a.m., given legislation to introduce wine sampling in retail stores and farmers markets and spirit sampling in state stores, as well as popular proposals we're now hearing about to loosen restrictions on service in movie theaters and other venues, it's clear that we're faced with growing public support for expanded access to alcohol in responsible, regulated settings. In the past, our mission has centered on using our monopoly in the wholesale and retail spirits markets to devise the control structure to restrict access and regulate licensees in a way that mitigates public safety impacts. With the passage of 1183, that mission has evolved. Lacking the ability to restrict access on the supply side, which the voters took away, we now must rely on adopting a thoughtful regulatory framework which emerges from an in-depth understanding of community impacts, of increased access, and effective strategies to address them. Not examining the issue of expanding alcohol access through expanded hours of service for on-premise licensees ignores our mission and, in my opinion, does a disservice to citizens and all affected stakeholders. As long as we as a board offer no commitment up front as to outcome, we should not be afraid of or be deterred from a process that is designed to develop a greater understanding of this issue. We are not the Liquor Prevention Board. We are the Liquor Control Board. Our job is to determine, after fully examining the facts, if we can establish rules which adequately mitigate the clearly identified risks of expanded hours of alcohol availability at on-premise establishments. If at the end of that process we cannot accomplish that end in rules, then we should proceed no further. However, if it can be done by establishing rules and requirements, including ironclad commitments from petitioning cities, no matter how high we set that regulatory bar in rule, then we have a duty to put those rules in place and expect Seattle or any city bringing forth a petition to meet those standards before we grant approval. So yes, our decision today represents an opportunity loss. And quite frankly, I think it also begs the issue of what exactly is the role of this three-person board in the wake of Initiative 1183. If it's not to oversee a healthy public dialogue on complex, contentious issues that deal with alcohol access, then exactly what is it? That's not for me to answer today, but I do believe it's a conversation that will begin in the near future, and I think our inaction today is as good a starting point as any for that conversation. So let me close by thanking Mayor McGinn and the City of Seattle staff for their time and, in my view, infinite patience in working with the board on this issue. I, for one, will continue to work with them to help address, I think, some real public safety and economic vitality issues that I believe this proposal would have dealt with constructively. So thank you.
Thank you, Chris. I would also like to thank the City of Seattle for working with us. I spoke with the mayor about a half an hour ago and told him where I thought the vote was going to go. And he certainly did express disappointment. And I told him if it was reversed, I would probably feel exactly the same way. And that we had an agreement that we would still continue to work together. There's going to be lots of issues before us that involve everybody statewide, and we can have a strong, good working relationship with the City of Seattle.
I feel the same. Appreciate the work that the City of Seattle has put into this, and hope that we'll have continued dialogue.
I will call for the question. All in favor, say aye. Aye. All opposed.
No.
The motion to open petition making for the City of Seattle to regarding hours of alcohol service is denied. Thank you very much. We will now move on to once again having Karen briefly tell us about the board adoption of rule. Our rules for 103 for rulemaking as it goes to implementing 1183. Please, Karen.
Good morning, Board Members, Chair Foster, and Board Members Carosa and Mark. I am here today to recommend that the board adopt the permanent rules to implement 1183. We had a public hearing last week. I have attached all the comments that we've received for this rulemaking. We had 294 written comments, and we had 18 people that commented at the public hearing last week. I'm not going to go through all of those new rules that we did. They are all attached to the issue paper that you have. We have made no changes from what was discussed last week or what was from originally filed on April 18th. If the board adopts these rules today, they will become effective 31 days after they're filed with the code revisor. Before filing with the code revisor, I will send out a concise explanatory statement to all those who commented on the rulemaking. And hopefully I can get that done today or tomorrow. Once I get that out, I will file them with the code revisor, and they will become effective 31 days after filing.
Thank you, Karen. I will accept a motion to accept the adoption.
I move board adoption of the CR 103 for rulemaking to implement initiative 1183.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much, Karen. I think next up on my agenda, maybe doesn't show on anybody else's, is our agency director, Pat Kohler. Welcome, Pat.
Good morning, Chair Foster and Board Members Rosie and Marr. I'm here today to do some recognition for some of the long-term employees, one being impacted by the initiative. If Teresa Grant Duggins is in the room, could you please come forward?
Hi, Teresa.
Hello.
So Teresa Grant Duggins is a district manager. She's been in numerous districts in Seattle and most recently on the peninsula. She's been a district manager with us since 2007, and she has worked on numerous projects besides her role in managing a rather large district, 15 state stores, probably 15 contract stores. But Teresa served on our WSQA efforts after the Baldrige Award. She worked on a DM rotational assignment, as well as a workforce focus team to improve efforts with our employees. She also worked on numerous revenue generating ideas, like our wine strategy work group, the armored car project, which helped with public safety and redirecting resources, with coop planning for safety reasons, and the merchandising and purchasing and merchandising work group. Teresa also worked on the Public Service Recognition Week for the statewide group, and she has contributed a lot to our organization. For those of you that had the opportunity to work with Teresa, one thing that I appreciate about Teresa is that she is has a great attitude. She is a hard worker, but more than anything, you are an extremely strong individual. I look up to you. You have battled more in your personal life than most people would never want to face, and you you did that with a lot of dignity, respect, and honor, and I admire you, Teresa.
Thank you.
And this is from the board.
How very nice.
To the Department of Revenue, and she has taken a job there. She is going into a different career path. So most of Teresa's career has been in the grocery business, and so she is in retail, and she's actually going to pursue her financial background and go into the accounting field as a revenue auditor with the Department of Revenue. So would you like to say anything, Teresa?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to thank everyone that I've worked with. I've met so many wonderful people over the last 4.5 years, and it just has gone by so quickly, and I'm so sorry to see it end in the way that it did to make me pursue a new career path. But once again, thank everyone for their support, because I did have a few low moments in the 4.5 years personally, and had incredible support from all of my supervisors, including Pat. So thank you. And my peers, I might add. So.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks.
Best of luck.
So the next person is not leaving, and probably is surprised to Lynn, and I'm very thankful that this person is not leaving. I would like Frances Munoz Carter to come to the front of the room. Frances doesn't know why she was here. I surprised her with this. And that's kind of a hard thing to do, to surprise Frances, but Frances serves as my personal assistant and has for about 5 or 6 years now. Frances has been with our agency since 1992. Today I am giving her her 20-year certificate as a state employee. So although all the years were not here at the Liquor Control Board, Frances did join us in 1992. And she started as a confidential secretary to one of the board members, Jesse Farias. And then she served as the confidential secretary to the board chairman, Merritt Long. And when the transition was going on, I had the opportunity to steal Frances away, and I did. And I'm very lucky to have Frances supporting me on a regular basis. One thing I will say about Frances is that her support goes beyond me, and I know there are many people in this room that are touched by Frances' support. For a time period, Frances supported the board, Rick, and me, and most recently, she supported both Rick and I, and didn't miss a beat in supporting us through those through all that we had going on, not just with the day-to-day operations, but with the implementation of the initiative. She's there for the directors and helps them in any way she can. She's a leader among lead support and helping them learn the process, help them in any way they can. Frances has served in the agency in many leadership roles. The Washington State quality efforts, Frances was a lead examiner. She has helped Rick this most recent legislative session with the legislative process. She has been instrumental in helping us keep track of all the policy changes and the interpretation and the decisions that had to be made on 1183. Frances, although serves in a support position, is truly a leader in this organization and has a lot of potential to move up in the organization. I think very highly of Frances, and I am very fortunate to work with Frances on a daily basis. Thank you, Frances.
Thank you.
I think Rick might want to say something.
No, okay. I was going to just jump into the picture.
Yeah, we can drop that out.
Would you like to say anything, Frances? I know I'm
Well, yeah, sorry. I don't have my seat ready. No. No, just thank you, Pat, and the board. I've been here for many years and seen a lot. I guess that's why I'm still here, because the people I work with the most, and it is a great agency, and there's a lot of exciting things going on, of course, right now. So thank you.
Great job, Frances.
Thank you.
And that concludes what I have.
Okay, thank you, Pat. Thank you. Is there any new business that anybody would like to bring up?
Can the press get copies of your guys' statements?
Certainly. And is there any old business somebody would like to bring up? If not, we are adjourned. Thank you all for coming.
What did she say when you had her go in there?
She was like...